Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for May 14th, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the energy market with Steve Platt from Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. And we'll have the latest crop progress numbers with NAS officials in Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, and Nebraska. And we'll chat with two industry leaders who also happen to be farmers about their 2013 planting experiences. And Don Day will have the latest in agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's how futures settled on this Tuesday afternoon. In Kansas City, May wheat 760 down a half. July 767 up a half. May wheat in Chicago 701 and a half unchanged. July 710 and three quarters up one. May corn 706 and three quarters down 11 and a quarter. July 652 and a half down three. December 538 down one and a quarter. Go out to July of 14, 562 and a half down one and three quarters. May soybeans 1524 and a half up three and a half. July 1414 and three quarters down four and a half. November 1214 up four and a quarter. May soybean meal 461 up 310. July 411.80 down 330. May soybean oil 49.26 down 35. July 49.76 up 15. June live cattle 120.87 and a half up 30. August 120.52 and a half down 35. These are last trades for livestock. May feeder cattle 135.22 and a half up 37 and a half. And May lean hogs at 91.90 down 2.5. And those are your last trades and settlements for this Tuesday afternoon in Chicago and Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lunner's weather highlights, he says that rain is likely in the lower U.S. Midwest Wednesday into Thursday, slowing field work from parts of Missouri and extreme southern Iowa to Ohio. And then rain is likely in much of the Midwest late this week into early next week, slowing field work. The upper Midwest, that's the eastern Dakotas to Minnesota and Wisconsin, will be the wettest with some heavy rain likely. U.S. Midwest temperatures will cool to a more seasonable range Wednesday and Thursday, but another wave of heat will push across the region Friday into Saturday.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
This is the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Well, July is now on the top step. May contracts off the board. What do we expect for spreads now that July takes over?
Well, you know, there's talk out there that we will, you know, take over the lead or leads top step there and go ahead and keep our old crop, new crop spread staying wide. I tell you, the one thing that we aren't going to see is probably just going above $7 until we see a few weather problems along the way, Dave, because I think that, you know, we just don't have quite the pressure on the July because it's not going to be in delivery here for about 90 days.
I wonder if the September, December crop, the spread there might become a big play, given the fact that we're putting the crop in the ground later.
I think that that's going to have a bigger impact than a lot of people think. I think that we are going to look at that as an old crop rather than as the in-between or not knowing which crop it is for sure this year. It is still old crop this year.
What do you think of the trading action, generally speaking, today?
It was pretty lackluster. We expected a lot more fireworks out of the May going off with no deliveries in the corner of the beans ever until here. So sort of a lackluster day compared to what we were expecting.
So as we look at the soybeans in particular, and we begin to think about the NOVs at 12-14, and we begin to think about what the crop could potentially be, certainly, it is no surprise that the risk is definitely to the downside. A couple of things, though, have to happen. Number one, we have to raise that big crop that USDA says we're going to get. Number two, we have to see what South America does if prices do decline with their planting intentions. And probably a couple of other things I'm not even thinking about right now. I guess the question I'm wondering is, how much risk to the downside do you think is in that November crop?
Oh, Dave, you put some lot of good things together there as far as talking about what could happen. I think that with ideal conditions, getting this corn bean crop in the ground up here, South America planting fence row to fence row like they're talking, maybe a few more acres of beans in China and everything along the way, I think our own government put a 10 in front of the average price. So I guess we'd have to say there's $2.
Okay. So if there's $2 to the downside, that makes $12.14 relatively attractive today. So I guess the question is, do you start your marketing if you have done nothing at $12.14?
If you've done nothing, above $12 is probably a place to look at buying a put or something along the ways. We'd like to hope that there might be one weather scare, one interesting thing that we can't foresee in the future right today, some weather problems, something along the way. So, if you have nothing at all sold, why, I guess, you know, you would have to consider buying a $12 put.
Well, I mean, if corn is late in the ground, soybeans can be late in the ground.
You know, plenty of time to get soybeans in for timely planting here right now. If we can clear off after our rains that come through and keep us out till mid-next week, why, plenty of time to get the beans planted. But we are looking at some delays in a lot of places. We know that most of Champaign County, you know, is not doing much farming. We talked to farmers today that are barely started, and we talked to farmers that will finish up today. Mm. So a very great variance, and it isn't across the board, and everybody isn't flying in as fast as they can with their planters.
And that variance is really across the entire Corn Belt, is it not?
Now that's in the same counties, let alone states.
also on the soybeans, as we look at those, we do have to wonder, Chinese demand, does the demand come back that we've lost? Well, we've lost a little bit in the short term, many people attributing to the bird flu. How much demand comes back and how's quick?
We'll get demand back, Dave, because we are a much quicker shipper, a more reliable source. But price is always going to be a big thing, and South America has been able to undercut us in the past and when they have the supplies available. So it isn't going to just come back as easy as everybody thinks it is, and that's why there's a lot of skepticism that the USDA was maybe a little bit over-optimistic in projecting our exports to gain back for next year.
I think that if we do get them back, we're not going to get them back in the first quarter. We're not going to put a six-handle-plus million metric ton export on China in the first quarter, given South American supplies, maybe more like 450.
That would probably be very accurate, Dave. And I say that out of the simple respect is they are going to like to buy cheaper, number one. We're going to be instead of the primary, we're going to be the secondary until it turns into where they need us for shipping times.
So what I'm coming down to is the realization that producers may need to be holders of beans to get a better price later on.
That would be true.
Anything else before we let you go today, sir?
Nope, just as we go back to the fields, just want to remind all of you to be a little bit careful because you're going to be working longer hours and be tired, but we want you to be safe.
Yeah, do take a couple hours rests and be sure to get something to eat. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Here is the latest USDA crop progress numbers as of May 12th. For corn, 28% of the crop is planted versus 12% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 65%. 5% of the corn crop is emerged versus 3% last year, and the five-year rolling average of 28%. For soybeans, 6% are planted versus 2% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 24%.
We're dry enough that farmers did some significant planting. Overall, the state reached 17% complete on corn planting. That is up 10 points from last week, but still far behind last year's 94% and the five-year average of 64%. 2% of the crop has emerged around the state compared to 74% last year and 36% normally. Rains late in the week stopped planting progress again so that only 1.7 days were suitable for field work. Temperatures averaged 1 degree below normal at 59.9 degrees, and rainfall was 1/4 inch below normal at 0.79 inches last week. Topsoil moisture was rated 47% adequate and 53% surplus, just slightly drier than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending May 12th. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 16 one-hundredths of an inch to 2 3/4 inches, leaving about 3 days suitable for field work. Farmers worked long hours anywhere. Soils were dry enough to support tillage and planting equipment, with the most progress occurring in northern and some central counties. 30% of the intended corn acreage has been planted at this time, compared with 92% last year and 54% for the five-year average. By area, 44% of the corn acreage has been planted in the northern districts, 21% in the central region, and 19% in the south. At this time, farmers are ahead of both 2009 and 2011, when approximately 15% and 18% of the corn acreage had been planted respectively. Also, about 3% of the corn acreage has now emerged. 6% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared to 65% last year and 26% for the five-year average. By area, 10% of the soybean acreage has been planted in the north, 4% in the central region, and 1% in the south. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota farmers were finally able to make significant planting progress during the week. Topsoil moisture supplies are rated 1% very short, 15% short, 70% adequate, and 14% surplus. Spring wheat is 19% planted. That compares with 100% last year and the average of 65%. Corn is 18% planted, well behind both last year's 86% and the average of 68% complete. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Nebraska Field Office with a crop progress report for the week ending May 12, 2013. Corn planting advanced quickly early in the week until light rain at midweek limited progress. Corn planting was 43% complete, still 10 days behind average, and was most advanced in south central counties and least advanced in northeastern areas where precipitation has been above normal. Soil temperatures as of Sunday were 55 degrees or higher throughout the state. Statewide soybeans were 7% planted. Wheat conditions continued to rate fair to poor. Wheat jointed was 34%, 2 weeks behind average. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
As we just heard, corn planting around the nation is running way behind schedule at just 28% complete as of Sunday. Emmitsburg, Iowa farmer and United Soybean Board Chairman Jim Stillman told Todd Gleason yesterday in Washington, D.C. that he is hopeful the planter is running back home as he attends to the farm bill debate on the Hill.
Well, I assume that the planter is running at home right now, and by the time nightfall comes, we should be about 50% planted on corn acres. And, you know, we've had snow a week ago, but we got right back in the field. We just got in the field a couple of days before it snowed and knew it was coming, so we quit and had some cold weather. And even as I dumped the cat bowl there on Sunday morning, it had a layer of ice on it, so it's remained cold, but we've gotten excellent moisture here of late, and so we've got enough moisture in the top 2 feet to get a good crop going.
So are you of a mind that you're getting close to being done with drought, because you're listed still under drought conditions?
I'd say probably deep down we're still on that minor drought, but you know, we're gaining all the time. And if you see the forecast for the next weekend and next week, we could probably be ending the drought.
Also in Washington, D.C. is the president of the American Soybean Association, Canton, Mississippi farmer Danny Murphy. He has finished up his planting, but he says not everything was sown in the Mid-South.
Mississippi's probably going to be about 75%. We'll get about 75% of what our intentions were planted.
So the corn crop in the Mid-South is short acreage and 2 to 3 weeks behind. Murphy says that may cause some interesting problems around harvest time. He illustrates the point using USDA's grain stocks reports.
For the last few years, there's been some questions about the USDA stocks report on maybe September 1st about where you were. Really, that's their explanation has been that you're getting so much corn out of the Mid-South harvested then, you know, 200 or 300 million bushels maybe by then. But where we're looking at, most of this crop was late planted. We've been extremely cold, extremely wet. So I would think that most of our corn crop is going to be 2 to 3 weeks late. You know, that's when you really look at a lot of, especially down our way, a lot of poultry. Mississippi's probably used as somewhere around probably 150 or 200 million bushels a year for poultry production. And so that's probably about 20 million bushels a month. And then plus in, you know, other states, Arkansas, Alabama, are all big poultry states. It's going to really be, that gap is with the shortage that we had, the tight stocks we have anyway, it's really going to be tight, I think, when you get to that time period.
The question then, will poultry producers in the Southeast choose to import corn? Danny Murphy says maybe.
Well, they may not have any choice. When you look at as tight as the stocks are going to be, it'll be interesting to see. It'll kind of be a race between where they how they use up the remaining stocks that are on hand. And especially most of the time, we probably keep most of our corn in the South, but we might end up having to ship some of it north.
That has happened before, but not from so quite deep in the South as Mississippi. Last summer, corn from the boot heel of Missouri, harvested in the third week of August, was used in Decatur, Illinois. Joining us now for our look at the energy market is Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services, and he is in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Looks to me like if you look at a crude oil chart, what we have here is a big yo-yo, like a $10 yo-yo. It bounces down and it snaps back.
That's exactly true, Dave. I think the market's still kind of torn by some of the geopolitical risks associated with not only Syria but also Nigeria. Iran is also still in the background. On the other hand, from a supply-demand standpoint, we still have the U.S. weighing on the market from a supply standpoint. From a demand standpoint, it's been stable, particularly in the U.S., with some optimism being generated by the strength to equity values.
So where do you anticipate crude oil going forward through the first part of the summer?
Well, I'm still trying to make a case that the market deserves to be lower. I think the potential is still there for some cracks to emerge, that with the gasoline coming under pressure on a national perspective, not necessarily in our region, but on a national perspective, as refineries gear up and we get some fresh supplies out of Venezuela, as one of their larger refineries come back online, and Saudi Arabia contributes on to increasing refinery output as well, as some new capacity comes online, that should continue to be a force that the market will have to reckon with and could lead to some underlying weakness to this meeting. I guess there's going to be some real key focus points as we move toward the end of the month. First, I think, will be the OPEC meeting, which happens at the end of May. Iraq has indicated they might even leave OPEC if they're not given the opportunity to produce at their capacity levels, which would be probably toward the 5 million barrel range from around 3.5 currently being produced. Another factor, certainly dollar strength. I think that could lead to some underlying weakness. Another factor would be the supply availability going to the Gulf Coast refineries from the mid-continent of the U.S. As new pipelines come online and supplies move toward those areas, I think that will also lead to some better availability and continued erosion in potential crude oil values, probably back to the lower end of that range, which is down toward the $85 level in crude. We could even see the heating oil possibly fall down toward the 276, 278 cent. I'd probably at least do some coverage for some of the harvest needs in terms of diesel for some of the tractors and things like that, maybe about 25% if we were to see those levels again.
And very quickly, do you anticipate gasoline prices falling in the summertime?
I would not be surprised, although some stability could be apparent here in the near term. We've taken this crackdown from 42 to the low 20 into the mid $20 area in terms of margins, and that really does has had an impact in reducing gasoline prices.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather. It's National Buttermilk Biscuit Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1686, Gabriel Fahrenheit was born. Fahrenheit was a German physicist who invented the Fahrenheit temperature scale thermometer. It was the first thermometer to use mercury instead of alcohol, which also extended the temperature range of thermometers. In 1853, Gail Borden applied for a patent for condensed milk. But it was not until the Civil War, when troops needed milk products that did not spoil, that condensed milk became popular.
In 1919, Henry John Heinz died. Heinz was founder of the H.J. Heinz Company and creator of its slogan, 57 Varieties. Heinz was inspired by an advertisement he saw while riding on an elevated train in New York City of a shoe store boasting 21 styles. Heinz picked 57, more or less, at random. In 1985, the first McDonald's restaurant in Des Plaines, Illinois, became the first fast food museum. And in 1994, the FDA announced that the Flavor Saver tomato, a biotech-developed food, was safe. It was the first time that a commercially grown, genetically engineered food was deemed safe for human consumption. But the Flavor Saver did not prove profitable due to the need for specialized harvest equipment and shipping crates. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Not in the office today, huh?
No, on the road, such is the life of a weatherman.
Well, as you're out on the road and looking about, you might have had an opportunity to gaze out the window at crop progress and such. What are you seeing?
Well, I tell you, it's amazing how cool and wet the spring has been. And boy, certainly seeing that here in the markets here over the last couple of days with concerns for where we are with planting. There's a little bit of good news, a little bit of bad news. Good news is some warmer temperatures are spreading into the western areas and central areas of the Corn Belt here over the next couple of days. That should help things out, but we're probably headed towards quite a bit of shower and thunderstorm activity this weekend and early next week with another storm system coming our way, which could bring back wet conditions in some areas.
So how big of a window are we looking at, and how soon will it close?
Well, I'm thinking probably about 3 or 4 days. So I think it's enough of a window where folks are going to be able to take advantage of some warmer temperatures and some drier conditions. But after that 3 or 4 day time frame, that's when we could expect another round of wet precipitation and unsettled conditions. And it looks like we have a pattern here for another couple weeks. It'll probably be another 3 or 4, maybe a 5 day break. Then that will be followed by the next wet period. So prolonged periods of warm and dry are going to go no more than 3 or 4 days here for the next couple of weeks.
So what you're telling me is, based on the crop progress that we saw on Monday for the nation, a significant portion of the corn crop is going to go into the ground after May 20th, say.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll certainly see some progress. We are still well behind normal in many areas, especially in the northwest and western areas of Corn Belt soil temperature. So germination may take a little bit longer to get going there, but we will see some progress with these days coming up.
Let's turn your attention to some international weather for a moment, and let's touch on Australia, because we haven't talked about that on the air in a while. It seems like Western Australia is really hurting.
Yeah, they are, and that's going to be an area that we're going to definitely be watching here over the next week or two. And right now the trend is not much help is coming the way to Western Australia. Still looking like they're going to be in the same situation.
And nothing in sight that would change the trend in your mindset?
Nothing that's going to be enough to change things, at least here in the next week to 10 days.
And then I guess we ought to go over and go to Russia. Well known that they're having some difficulties as well. How bad is it?
Well, it's been warmer and drier and drying up in Ukraine and some of the western areas of Russia. It's been a pattern that's been fairly persistent, as we know, but I do see a little bit of a change in the weather pattern. Will it be enough to help them in the short term? No, but I think in the long term, there's a little bit of help on the way.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to subscribe to our free Aggie newsletter. You can do that at willag.org. Use the link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.